Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
No! Everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you gonna sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Hello to all your nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am the Wireitap. I am here to represent Weisnecker Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in a Wuhan laboratory, but you are not dying fast enough. So we now have Lysenko suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, gray or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your ashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne Complete Tube. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Lysenko suicide pod. Thank you.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Bruce Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, so TGIM, everyone. So joining us tonight, we will have Danielle joining us here in just a second. And if you have anything out there in Radio Land you need to share, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number one on your phone. We will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Danielle in here.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for filling in.
Anytime.
And I don't know if Dahl will be back next week or not, so we'll have to wait for that, I guess.
Okay. All right. No problem. I'm flexible. I'm available.
Okay. So what have you been working on?
Oh, geez. Well, I actually just, obviously, I did my show yesterday, Seeds of Change, 3 to 6.
Yeah.
And the new format worked out really, really well. We did a food hour, a news hour, and a health hour, and it worked out just perfect. We did, for the food hour, we talked about apocalypse crops, the basic staples that everybody should grow it just in case, and you know, and honestly, we're not preparing for a zombie apocalypse. We're basically doing this to make sure a zombie apocalypse doesn't happen, because we all know there's food supply shortages coming, and all kinds of other resources. But if everybody plants an apocalypse garden, then there won't be one. You know, we should call it the anti-apocalypse garden. And then news, well, you're aware of all of the news stories that are going on, but we focused a little bit on the fact that the Mar-a-Lago raid was done by the same people who are currently being investigated for their involvement in Crossfire Hurricane. You can't make this stuff up. There was also some good news. We do at least a segment of good news every week. There was Liz Cheney, right? That was probably the best thing that happened this week. That and a group of nurses won a $10 million lawsuit in Chicago, won a $10 million lawsuit, for being basically discriminated against for not getting the vaccine, for violating their religious rights. So that was a big win.
All of these lawsuits are they're winning in our favor finally.
Yeah, well, I think before, the lawyers just wouldn't touch them. They would not touch these, anything
Correct.
That had to do with COVID, even though, you know, we have a very clear case of discrimination. I've got a doctor's note. I go into a store. I get kicked out. I get the police called on me. It's a very clear civil liberties violation, this whole mask thing was.
I know.
It's
I ran into it like you wouldn't believe running bareface is legal, so I know.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, but the attorneys just aren't there. Now they're finally able to, because things are, I guess, loosening up. Now they're able to attack these violations.
And they're all saying, I knew from the beginning you guys were right, but then why didn't they help us?
Because they couldn't touch it. They would, you know, the same things that happened to the doctors for standing up and saying,
yes.
Wait a second, masks are not good for everybody. Wait a second, there has to be exemptions on this. Wait a second, locking down and staying away from people and closing down gyms. You know, if you questioned any of this stuff, you basically were targeted. And some of them lost their licenses. A lot of them lost their jobs for even speaking out against some of these assumptions that were made for a novel virus, right? So I think that lawyers probably took a look at that, a lot of them, and, and if they ever wanted to be able to argue a case in front of a judge again and not be disbarred, I think they waited. And maybe timing is everything, because if they were gone, if they got disbarred, how would they ever help us? You know, how would we ever win this legal battle if they just got rid of all the lawyers who could recognize what a civil liberty violation is, you know? So that's my guess. My theory is that they were just, in waiting until they could do something, until the craziest of it died down.
So Dr. Frawdy announced he's leaving in December. I don't know why he just doesn't leave now.
I know. He definitely should. Any bets on where he's going? What other projects he'll be pursuing?
Good question. He's in his 80s, so I don't know.
Well, he did say he definitely said he wasn't retiring. He was just retiring from that position, but he was going on to do other projects.
I'm sure Bill Gates will have something for him. That won't be hard.
Yeah, exactly. Or a pharmaceutical, a vaccine company, you know. He's already profiting enough off of it. Maybe he was finally getting some legal pushback about, wait a second, why are you the head of the NIAID and profiting off of these drugs? How is that not a conflict of interest? So maybe if he steps down from this government position, he feels he would be able to make more money and not be questioned constantly about it. That's my guess.
But what if they put him in the World Health Organization?
That's definitely a possibility, and that's kind of the step up, right, for him. That's the only real way that you can step up is, he's in charge of the country's health, so to speak. Now it's the world. And if he did that, then it would be pretty tough, because he's already said that he, knowing what he knows now, that 60% of the spread is being, spread by non or asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic people, that he would have tightened it up a lot more if he could go back and do it again. And so with the connections that we have to the World Health Organization, basically allowing them to set our policies on this stuff, how long until the UN comes in and starts enforcing it, right? And that's more power for Fauci. I would not, that's a really excellent guess. I would say vaccine or that one. That might even be more likely than vaccine.
See, my guess is that he's going to end up as the number two in the World Health Organization behind Dr. Tedros. And remember, Dr. Tedros is not even a doctor.
I know. And he's so guilty of genocide, basically, an attempted genocide, that maybe he'll be arrested. Who knows? But that's me being optimistic that he could, maybe Tedros is stepping down. Maybe if he's not even a doctor, they'd probably put Fauci in charge, because he is at least a doctor on paper. He doesn't see patients, but whatever.
That's kind of what I see.
I think you may be onto something.
You even have the number two under Dr. Frawdy. You had Dr. Birx for the past couple weeks saying that she knew that the gene therapies were not going to work.
Yeah, she wrote a book. Fell in the book.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating, And they're all going to get away with it. They're all going to get away with it. Even though they did you listen to the Walensky or see the Walensky Zoom where she was like, yeah, we screwed up on this. One of them on the list was the myocarditis thing.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw bits and pieces from whoever else that had clips on their show.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, I mean, it's there. They're even admitting it. And I don't know. I don't see anything happening to them negatively, even after everything that they did to us, right? Nobody's going to face any consequences.
No, they think we all have Etch-a-Sketch brains.
Yeah, basically. And especially, like, you know, Burks actually told us the truth way back in the day on those one of those press conferences. I watched those things religiously, those COVID press conferences. I saw either I saw them either live or rarely I'd go back and watch the replay. But I tried to catch them live because, you know, this is, you know, what are they going to say next? And she actually was asked about, Burks was asked about the of COVID or with COVID question.
Yes.
And they, I have the clip if you want to. It's really quick. But essentially.
Go ahead. If you know where it's at, play it.
Let me play it. Let me see. One second. But, yeah, basically saying that of COVID and with COVID are two different things. Let's see. COVID. I can't find. Let me see. One second. Let me look for it real quick. I also have a really good, and these are so succinct, and I have Burke and the public health director for Illinois, and I can't remember her name right. Oh, there we go. All right, here we go. This is I found the Dr. Burke one, so here we go.
Misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality, and I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Okay, so right there, that's, you know, her base, and it's really fun to watch it too. The video of it, she like pantomimes the checking off of that, the forms that are able to mark it. She does like a little check mark. So basically, what she's admitting right there, and then another 48-second clip of Dr. Izuki from Illinois Public Health Lead, basically director. Basically, what Burks just said was that if they had COVID when they died, or even presumably someone as far as if they have antibodies for it, so they've already been infected, right? They count that as a COVID death. They check that box. And basically, every single case that was coming in that had that COVID box checked, even if it was from a completely unrelated death, was marked COVID. And so this is, I like to talk to Dr. Zee one because she's, and a lot of people think she's a piece of work, but here is one 49-second clip of her doing it, of her actually telling the truth. So this is just a little more elaboration on what Dr. Burke said. So here we go.
I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was the COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if technically, if even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Yes, yes,
well,
it
is. Well, that explains, Danielle, that explains why the average lifespan in America was 74.3 years old. And if they died of COVID, it was 76.8.
Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Yeah, that too. They played with these numbers to keep people scared. They had COVID trackers on every TV screen. You know, anybody who's watching CNN always sees
yes.
this COVID tracker, right? Just scare tactics. And they even got caught in Florida. Do you remember that? Where they were like 100% of every sample tested at this lab was positive for COVID, 100%.
So yes, and that's exactly how Governor DeSantis woke up to it.
Yes, yes, exactly. And they caught him, and Florida cases changed after that. So this is what happens when we just rely on these so-called experts to tell us how to live and think and breathe. You know, they will lie to us. I guess I'm angry, but I'm also like, I guess validated. I feel validated in a way that every time something new comes out about this, about COVID, I was right. And they were wrong. And I was told to shut up and listen to the science. But maybe the science should have listened to me. I don't know. I'm not going to be that bold. But, you know, why was I right, but science was wrong? You know, why is that? Why do I know more?
Well, because you didn't buy into the hype.
Exactly. Exactly. And shame on any doctor or nurse who, you know, basically backed this facade, right? They all know masks don't work and actually make things worse. They all know
it. But the sad thing is that you still see maybe one out of every four or five people, they're still wearing scams.
Yeah, I saw three people in their cars today wearing them. I always give them like
this
like questioning / grossed out look.
So those people are just gone. They're not going to. They're not going to get it.
Yeah, that's true. But they probably are all, you know. They've probably been vaxxed five times by now and on the waiting list to get their monkeypox vaccine, you know. So they won't be with us for too much longer.
I just can't believe that you still have people that are they're scam wearing, and when you tell them that the Democrats want you to wear scams forever, they're like, yeah, I know. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, some of them really are that far gone. But I'm actually really happy about the fact that only 5% of babies in New York City in New York were vaccinated. That actually gives me some hope, right? And there are people out there that are like, okay, well, you know, I got the two. I didn't really want to, but I'm not getting the booster, right? They've kind of stopped, you know. So at least it seems like there are some people waking up, you know. Hopefully I'm sure it's going to be enough. And I'm very encouraged by the lack of participation with the children. That really makes me happy.
But how is it in California, though?
Still, it's low. It's low there, especially for the babies. And I think older children, I think it's somewhere around 50%, you know, which is way better than...
Did I lose you? Okay, that was for me to see if I can still hear you, Danielle. I don't hear you. All right, and she dropped. All right, so anyway, I do have a bunch of clips that I want to get to. Danielle will be back in just a second. I want to get into this Merrick Garland clip real quick here, where he's talking about what we're going to see as far as the social credit score.
The actions that the department is taking to advance environmental justice. First, consistent with the president's executive order on tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad, we are issuing a comprehensive environmental justice enforcement strategy. Associate Attorney General Vinita Gupta will discuss that strategy in just a moment. Second, I'm pleased to announce that we are launching the Justice Department's first ever Office of Environmental Justice to oversee and help guide the Justice Department's wide-ranging environmental justice efforts.
Holy Moses. So the Department of Justice now has a group of environmental ministers, environmental judge dreads going out there? They're not in the EPA. They're in the Department of Justice. Just like the Ministry of Truth was put in the DHS. Ladies and gentlemen, why are they establishing all of these new ministries? The Truth Ministry, the Environmental Ministry. Why are they establishing them all in bodies with law enforcement power, the DOJ and the DHS? I know you know the answer. Because what do they have that other entities may not have? Subpoena power. That's right. You're an airline. They don't like your environmental policy. You're not flying your planes on battery power. Don't laugh. You're not flying your planes on battery power. Maybe they'll subpoena your records. Wouldn't be a real shame, too, if that stuff leaked. Everybody got a hold of your business plans and all that stuff. Oh, that would never happen. Really? Really? Ben, can you explain this conveniently at the exact same time? You ever notice how I put these things together, how they all seem to be planned because they are? You think this was an accident? Here is Biden's environmental czar, another incompetent zero, Gina McCarthy, giving a speech the other day, not hiding it at all. This is the environmental overlord here, suggesting that, listen, you don't listen to us, man, about this environmental stuff, and you're an airline or something, you're out of here. Her words, not mine. You think this was a mistake? Check this out.
We have solutions that can deliver. We're actually going to do 100 rules this year alone on appliances, just like you asked. We are developing partnerships on how we work together for new building standards, even for sustainable airlines. Who'd have thunk that they'd be all in, but they better be or they're going to be out of here.
Who talks like that?
Yeah.
They better be or they're out of here. Who talks like that? These jackbooted thugs in our government. Who talks like that? The answer is leftists, tyrant thugs. This is thug government right here. You think it's a mistake Gina McCarthy gives that speech? That jackbooted thug, disgusting speech by this filth in our government, attacking people, good hardworking people and companies in this country? Who the f*** talks like that? Thugs talk like that. This is a consent of the people government. Read the freaking Constitution, you dipwads. Who talks like that? You think it's a mistake the Department of Justice is going to be running this new environmental ministry of truth? You think it's a mistake Nina Jankowski works for the DHS? Subpoena power, folks. Produce your records or else. Or you're out of here. You think this is all an accident? They've realized right now they've given up on any attempted policy change that would fix all of the multitude of problems in the United States. That part's over. They've destroyed this place. Now they want to burn it to the ground.
He
the actions that the department.
So, nice to have you back.
Sorry about that. Yeah. If anybody else
That's
in my
fine.
House is on
I figured
Wi-Fi.
While we're talking about Dr. Fraudy and all that, we could play the latest J.P. Sears. Have you seen that one?
Which one is that? Is that the SADS one?
No, that's the unknown cause of death is the leading cause of death.
Yeah. He must follow me because I am telling you, I was one of the first to say that, and it was on Freedomizer that, you know, look for these in you know, the vernacular coming soon. SADS, mm-hmm. S-A-D-S, and V-AIDS, A-I-D-S. So, all right, yeah, we can.
Yeah, COVID,
I'd love to
yeah.
that one.
All right, so let's listen to JP.
Sounds good.
Good evening. People are dropping like flies from a mysterious killer called unknown cause of death. So tonight we're bringing you a special report on this unknown cause of death killer so we can steer your thinking in the right direction. I like it when a good plan comes together. Unknown cause of death has even become the leading cause of death in Alberta, Canada, which is ruled over by Justin Trudeau. So just use your imagination on that correlation. In Alberta, unknown cause of death is causing even more deaths than heart disease, strokes, and diabetes combined. For a little more perspective, let's throw it over to a guy with an accent from our sister station in the UK.
The leading cause of death in Alberta is now, go on, take a guess, take a wild guess, cancer, heart disease, no. The leading cause of death is cause unknown.
Known causes was the leading cause of death in Alberta last year. That category leads the way over dementia, which has been in the top spot since 2016.
You better hope you don't contract unknown cause of death because there's a lot of people dying from it. Let's hear more.
A couple of years ago, unknown cause of death was unknown. There were just a mere 500 or so. If you ever look at this graphic of unknown causes. Look at that. 2019, there were just 500 unknown causes of death. Now it's 3,362. The leading cause of death is unknown. You're more likely to die from an unknown cause in a first world society than anything else. There's a lot of unknown cause going around. What are the early symptoms? The warning signs of unknown cause. Beats me, nobody knows. That's why they call it unknown cause. What's causing all this unknown cause of death? Is it climate change? Transphobia? Or could it be...
No, it couldn't. We'll take it from here, buddy. As you saw in the video clip, compared to the number of deaths from unknown causes back in 2019 before the world changed, and thank you for all the improvements, New World Order, there's now 7 times more unknown cause of deaths. And it would astonish you to find out how much we're not looking into what's causing the drastic rise of unknown cause of death. And we don't need to, because when we look at dead people, we can see that what caused their death was an unknown cause. That pretty much gets to the bottom of it, right? The deaths are caused by cause unknown. And the thought police want you to know that any further questioning will lower your social credit score. And when looking at the numbers from Alberta, we can see there are 49% more deaths caused by unknown cause of death than there are deaths caused by... And given that has given our leaders very good reason to keep us in a never-ending pandemic, you might be wondering... Will they declare a pandemic emergency for this even deadlier killer? The answer is no. While this one is killing more people, it isn't really something to worry about. Trust us, we're telling you everything you need to know. We might as well just sweep this one under the rug because we wouldn't want to unnecessarily scare you. We wouldn't do a thing like that. And please don't look into this on your own. This just in. The CEO of Pfizer, who is quadruple boosted, has contracted COVID. I wonder how we got it. Back to the news. How can you protect yourself from this very deadly and specific killer called unknown cause of death? We'll tell you that in a moment. But first, let's take a look at some heartwarming news of athletes collapsing and dying on the field from heart issues. One America News Network who are conspiracy theorists, and we're getting them shut down, reported that from March 2021 to March 2022, 769 athletes collapsed on the playing field from cardiac issues. The average age of those athletes is 23. Kind of young for heart issues. Until now. It's just kind of a new normal at this stage. Let's take a closer look at how normal this is. As you can see, 500% more soccer players in Europe are dropping dead from heart attacks compared to 1 year ago. Why are all these young athletes dying from heart issues? Well, here's UK football legend Matt Le Tissier with some perspective.
The last year, it's just been unbelievable how many people, not just footballers, sports people in general, you know, about tennis players, about cricketers, basketball players, just how many are just keeling over. And at some point, surely you have to say, this isn't right. This needs to be investigated.
Don't worry, Matt. We're on it. And we have all the answers as to why these young athletes are dying from heart issues. We've looked into what we want you to think, and it turns out that both being young and exercising are now bad for your heart. Because these are young professional athletes in extremely good physical condition, which is bad for their hearts because it means they have both risk factors. Makes sense, right? No questions? Shut up. So if you exercise, we advise you to stop your self-destructive habit immediately because you're putting yourself at great risk because it's bad for your heart. You should have been listening to the body positivity movement all along because obesity is now good for your heart. We can only hope that our well-intentioned authorities will once again shut down all gyms in order to protect your health. Case closed. Right, thought police?
I'd have to laugh at that.
So once you start trying not to be young and stop exercising, what further steps can you take to protect yourself from unknown cause of death, the number one killer in Alberta? Well, the best protection is knowing about unknown cause of death. So here's how it works. Medically speaking, it works by way of a mechanism that just kind of gets you, and then you're dead. So if you see it, don't go near it. You can also call the mysterious killer by another name, SADS, Sudden Adult Death Syndrome, which makes it sound more official and less tyrannical. Aside from those pieces of very helpful knowledge, you also want to continue obediently listening to us as we tell you what to do, because we'll always steer you in the direction we want you to go while telling you it's in your best interest. That's it for tonight's special report on unknown cause of death. If your favorite athletes are still alive, watch them now while you can. The people who control us at the media publicly advocate for reducing the world's population. Don't think too much about that. We're hiding everything in plain sight. And here's Klaus Schwab on the beach wearing women's lingerie with no pubes, because why not? Good night.
All right. So, there you go.
I love him.
You know
I love
what's
him.
Funny?
We
is
should see if he wants to advertise on Freedomizer.
Oh, if you want to reach out to him, I don't mind.
I think I will.
So, I wanted to tell you, there's actually a baseball pitcher named J.P. Sears. He's a rookie. I think he plays for the Oakland A's now. He just got traded from the Yankees.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's, I think, the only team that we have that could actually do anything good now in San Diego.
What, the Padres?
Baseball. Yeah, Padres.
That's I really wish gone. I could have gone to some games this week. The Guardians are playing the Padres. The Indians have been my team since I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Always been a Padres fan. But, you know, like, I hardly ever listen to any sports news. I'm really kind of out of the loop when it comes to sports. But I did manage to hear that the Padres made some big money moves for some players recently.
Yeah, they mortgaged their future for one player, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to be the next Babe Ruth, you know? Maybe we'll actually do something. That's the other thing about us, though, is, like, if we lose, like the Chargers, they lost all the time. Like, we never did anything. We never really got that far. I think we went to the Super Bowl once, but we lost. you know. But hey, it's okay because people can just go swimming.
My favorite Charger thing ever, not favorite, I mean, this is the most Charger thing you can do, is your squad goes 14-2 when you fire your head coach.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but that's the thing, is that the vibe is just different here. Like, I lived in Pittsburgh for 2 years of my life when I was in high school. And, you know, it was like they lived and breathed and ate Steelers, man. Like, they just,
yeah,
that was their team. They were so proud, and they should be. You know, that's still my team, is the Steelers. I lived in that place for long enough and suffered enough in the cold to claim it as my team. But that's all they have there. They don't even have cheerleaders, you know? Like, they just, it's weird. Like, I remember being in Pittsburgh when some big loss happened, I think, to the Chargers. I think they were playing the Chargers, and they lost to the Chargers. And afterwards, you could hear a pin drop. The whole city was silent. It was so weird.
Yeah,
like,
but they also have the Penguins, which do seem to do okay for hockey.
That is true. That's true. A substitute teacher in the school that I went to in high school was Mario Lemieux. I want to say sister-in-law or something
okay.
like that. Yeah, he lived just right across the river from where we were. I lived in like the hood. By the airport, Coriopolis, or, well, Moon Township is where I lived. But just on the other side of the river, it was like overlooked the Ohio River Valley. And on the other side was like the Swickley, Edgeworth, like the really like kind of ritzy places in Pittsburgh. And we could see them. But that's where the Mario Lemieux lives there in, I think, in Edgeworth. But, yeah. So they did. That's true. They do like their hockey, too.
So
but San Diego, who cares, right? Like, if you lose, you just go play on a yacht, you know, go to the beach.
Yeah. So I wanted to introduce this week's new Broccoli Man episode. Do you have the link?
Yeah, I think you sent it to me. Let me pull it up.
All right.
Okay, almost there.
All right.
Let me just make sure that... Oh, yeah, so skipping ad. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. All right, I am ready.
All right, this one is called Mail Fraud, featuring the wiretap.
Okay.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Stop right there, green dude. We need to audit your person right this instant. I have reason to believe you donated $10 to Donald Trump's presidential campaign. We need you to donate to Brandon. Instead, you dumb diddly did support MAGA.
Please, just go away. In America, we can support whatever candidate you like. You are allowed to spend $50 and donate to Brandon, Governor Gruesome, or Michael Robinson Obama if you like. It is none of my business.
Now you look here, something luck, Earl. We just hired 7,000 IRS agents. Anyone that did not vote for Brandon, or if they said even one thing bad about Brandon, we will have audits for all the pieces of excrement that refuse the style of freedom, sir.
That's not freedom. That's communism.
Shut up, Biasnitch. I have done did told you before. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. Zip it good. Now, we also need to find out why you do not have a bloody scam on that face. You know it is money box season, sir. You do not want money box, sir. It is too risky out here in these main streets without your money box gene therapies and no scam on that face.
I also heard you are smuggling some kumquats. I just need to have a look-see at those large delicious kumquats so I can verify you are the legal owner of said kumquats. Unless you in fact lied on your IRS form that you possess said kumquats.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
That is finna be a yes for me, dog. If you cannot show me evidence of you possessing kumquats, I will be forced to put on your IRS audit that you do not have any kumquats. Then you will have perjured yourself on your tax returns, sir.
I do not think that's how it works.
I think that's how it works, green dude. Now if you do not make way with those dungarees so I can get a close up of those kumquats, I will be taking you right now to that FEMA camp. That does not exist. How are we gonna make you rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher, sir?
If you are going to quote Eddie Grant to me, I will quote the great band Incubus to you. Goodbye. Nice to know you. Now, I am here to find a child predator and arrest them. Now you need to leave me alone so I can get back to work.
That tears it, green dude. Our crime syndicate cannot have you out here in these mean streets removing people from their families and places of employment. All because you are racist against minor attracted persons. Some states are now creating rights for us so you can no longer do any arresting, sir. It will only be considered illegal provided the person being diddled is over the age of 18. That is how I got money, Fox Green Dude. Even though I have been boosted many times from the Money Fox gene therapy.
Okay, so what you are saying is I should arrest you instead.
Sir, I just need to run my hands through your long flowing mane. Then I need to run you through the TSI naked body scanner so I can verify those kumquats, sir. I need a hard copy of your proof of kumquats. A very hard copy, sir. You can do stop and frisk on me and you can know in my own person after if you like, green dude. If you cannot show me verifiable proof of your kumquats, I will arrest you right this instant for mail fraud.
Okay. I will stop what I am doing and arrest you right now.
Do not worry, sir. I will stop what I am doing and arrest you right now, green dude. That is one count of resisting arrest. One count of refusing an IRS audit. One count of being a bias niche. One count of mail fraud. And one count of not getting a bloody scam on that face under a direct order from me. I don't think you are going to Disneyland today, sir.
People worldwide are protesting against the global tyranny. No one wants a social credit score, a microchip, or be placed in a FEMA camp.
I vehemently disagree, sir. Everyone demands a social credit score, a microchip, and be placed in a FEMA camp. You bloody Americans are too soft to defend yourselves from what we are planning to do to remove you 99% delts and pieces of excrement from this planet.
We need to stop rolling over and letting Klaus Schwab tell us we will own nothing and we need to eat ZE bugs so they can own everything and eat all the meat themselves. You need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Proof educates everyone on the latest New World Order news. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live.
Okay, green dude. You be finna coming with me. You busy's too much of a social credit score risk and a something lucker to have you out here on these mean streets. If we do not put you in that FEMA camp that does not exist, then more minor attracted persons could be wrongfully arrested by you. Then after we arrest you, I can get my grubby hands on a walnut map and a hot dog napkin. In your face.
Alright, so that's the episode that I was, that I did recently, so.
That was awesome. Mail check, that's so funny. And it's kind of relevant because we were, mail fraud. But we were, I was pointing out kumquats to my, on a family dog walk the other day, like actual kumquats.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, I can attest to the shape. but anyway, yeah, that was cute.
I don't know if you caught the Eddie Grant reference or not. I bet Leslie will tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. And I was thinking, the only one that I got was the Electric Avenue one. I'm so bad with
that
stuff.
That's Eddie Grant. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, I did. Oh, yay, I did it. Yay.
And then there's that Devo. Instead of whip it, it's zip it.
Yeah, I missed that one, see?
You need to zip it, green dude. Zip it good.
Yeah, okay. That's... Yeah, she'll get it for sure.
But the next one I have to talk about that executive order that I was showing you about. I don't know if you did any research on it because I was stuck at work.
Minimum, yes, but I did do some. I watched the video. I wish I could figure out how to get it, get the audio. But yeah, it's coming. I think we all know that, and I think that's okay. So the executive order basically, and this was signed what, back in March. Is that what I'm?
Yes.
Is that true? Okay, so that was quiet. I wonder what was going on in the news at the time. You know, what they were covering. You know, what we were watching. I'd like to go back and look at the headlines around the time it was signed and see what was going on. I'm sure they were distracting us with something. But, yeah, it does appear that this executive order puts basically – it's trackable everywhere, if that makes sense. I'm really bad with money and terms and stuff like that, but basically it's a currency that is trackable anywhere. They can go into anything. If they don't like it, who you donated to, if you don't, you know, then they can go in and close your bank account, you know, and leave you basically locked out of this currency system that we rely on to buy goods because nobody's ready to survive, you know, by growing their own food. We have to go to the grocery store still. So how do we do that if our money supply gets turned off? And again, that's a future that is, I'm almost positive is going to happen. Our you know, they will come after, they're already doing it, right? They're coming after crypto, and they're coming after Venmo. They're coming after all of these payment systems, and it really is about control, because if he who controls the money control the people, unless we can find a different way, which is why I always talk about, you know, taking back resources. Starting with food, news, and health. Like, we see the writing on the wall. We see what they're doing. They're trying to replace minimum wage employees with automation, when automation could be helping civilization. It's being used to hurt us, at least in our country. So, I have predicted this for a long time. Me and my family have been preparing, and I'm sure a lot of other families have been preparing, for a time where we can't use their money. And... you know, so it's really interesting that this executive order basically speeds it up. But, you know, like, I guess, well, how does the saying go that, you know, the best time to plant a garden was 5 years ago, the second best time is now? You know, it really is that way. And we, you know, the sooner that we can start growing things, microgreens even, you know, because the time is coming, and I think that with this executive order being signed, it's being accelerated, but the time is basically here for us to be able to rely, or to stop relying on the system, because the system is going to cut us off, you know. So I hope everybody's ready, and I hope that people have some food stocked up, if not growing food, you know, maybe invest in some generators. I don't know exactly how bad it's going to be and how fast, but we all know that a lot of people are about to get cut off from their money in many different ways. The IRS agents are there, I believe, just to back up the order that's already been signed. So,
well, here's what I see happening here with that, if that executive order, in fact, goes on, whether...
And I've seen some people say that it will happen on December 13th. I've seen people say it will be on Christmas. I've heard some people say it'll be in January. But in any event, by that time, the IRS agents will have gone through basic training.
Yeah.
So my thought here is that they're going to pull the rug out, and they're going to get rid of the cash system, and they're going to implement their digital currency. And as they lock up your assets and tell you that eventually you'll get your money back, and the first round of IRS agents will be for people that are angry about it and try to protest. And then after that, when you still have not paid your mortgage, even though your bank is frozen, then they can come by and seize your assets.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
Yeah. They might make you a deal, and I've played this before. Let me see if I forget the... I forget the guy's name. But there's something, let me see if it's from Canada here. But I played this 2 years ago, and now I can't remember. Dr. Buttar. Okay, let's listen to this, and you'll see how it makes sense.
It was an email that was sent to me, and I'll just say her first name to protect her identity. Denise, D-E-N-Y-S-E. Maybe that's not protecting identity because that's not a common name, but anyway. Denise is her name, and she sent an email, and this email talked about something that's happening in Canada. The subject was leaked email from Liberal Party of Canada lays out the plan for what's going to happen in November, December, and then the first and second and third quarters of 2021. Now, this is not based upon what a person's opinion is or conjectures. This is based upon what actually happened at a meeting in the legislative bodies on the Liberal side in Canada. So here's what it comes down to. The roadmap and aim was set out by the PMO and is as follows. And I hate looking down when I'm reading this, so let me see if I can read it this way. All right. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward, expected by November 2020. Next one, rush the acquisition of or construction of isolation facilities across every province and territory, expected by December 2020. These are concentration camps they're talking about. Daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing. Interesting that they already know that they're going to surge, right? Why? Because they know that if there is such a virus out there, assuming that there's a real virus out there, the testing is already going, it's already predetermined. They're testing, they're attenuating, they're basically amplifying the RT-PCR test to the point that every human being will test positive. That's what their goal is. All right, so the new daily cases of COVID, daily new cases of COVID will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths following the same growth curves expected by end of November 2020. Complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phase restrictions, expected by end of December 2020, early January 2021. Reform and expansion of the unemployment program to be transitioned into the universal basic income program, expected by quarter one, 2021. Projected COVID-19 mutation and or co-infection with secondary virus referred to as COVID-21, leading to a third wave with much higher mortality rate and higher rate of infection expected by February 2021. Daily new cases of COVID-21 hospitalizations and COVID-19 and COVID-21 related deaths will exceed medical facility capacities expected by by Q1, Q2 of 2021. Enhanced lockdown restrictions referred to as third lockdown will be implemented. Full travel restrictions will be imposed, including intra-province and intercity, expected by quarter 2, 2021. Guys, understand that. That means that if you're in British Columbia, you can't go to Quebec. All right? This is what they're talking about. And if you're in one city and you're trying to go into another city in the same province, they're not going to try to. They're not going to allow you to do that. This is in Canada. Of course, they're going to try to roll this out, and I'll get to that point here in a second. All right. Transitioning of individuals into the Universal Basic Income Program, expected mid-quarter to 2021. Projected supply chain breakdowns in inventory storage, large economic instability, all expected late second quarter 2021. Deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as all major roadways to establish travel checkpoints. Restrict travel and movement, provide logistical support to the area, expected by third quarter 2021. Along with that provided roadmap, the Strategic Planning Committee was asked to design an effective way of transitioning Canadians to meet an unprecedented economic endeavor, one that would change the face of Canada and forever alter the lives of Canadians. All right, guys, this is where it gets really disturbing, as if it's not already disturbing. What we are told was that in order to offset what was essentially an economic collapse on an international scale, that the federal government was going to offer Canadians a total debt relief. So people are getting excited about that. That sounds good, but wait. This is how it works. The federal government will offer to eliminate all personal debts, all mortgages, all loans, all credit cards, etc., with all funding, which all funding will be provided to Canada by the IMF under what will become known as the World Debt Reset Program. In exchange for acceptance of this total debt forgiveness, the individual would forfeit ownership of any and all property and assets forever. In exchange for acceptance of this total debt forgiveness, the individual would forfeit ownership of any and all property and assets forever. The individual would also have to agree to partake in the COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccination schedule, which will provide the individual with unrestricted travel and unrestricted living, even under a full lockdown. So if you agree, you can go do anything you're doing as long as you partake in the COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccination schedule, regardless of the lockdown. Magically, you take this vaccine and boom, guess what? You don't have to social distance. You don't have to wear a mask anymore because you have already gotten your vaccines. All right? So this is unrestricted living under a full lockdown through the use of a photo identification referred to as Canada's Health Pass. Committee members asked who would become the owner of the forfeited property and assets in that scenario, and what would happen to lenders or financial institutions. We were simply told the World Debt Reset Program will handle all of the details. So when that was, they were asked what happens to the property and what happens to the banks. Don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it. That's what they were told. All right. And now it gets really, really interesting. Wow. Committee members asked who would become, Several committee members also questioned what would happen to individuals if they refused to participate in the World Debt Reset Program or the Health Pass or the vaccination schedule. The answer we got was very troubling. Essentially, we were told it was our duty to make sure we come up with a plan, meaning the Liberal Party was told that it was their duty to come up with a plan to ensure that would never happen. We were told it was in the individual's best interest to participate. When several committee members pushed relentlessly to get an answer, we were told that those who refused would first live under the lockdown restrictions indefinitely, and that over a short period of time, as more Canadians transitioned into the debt forgiveness program, the ones who refused to participate would be deemed a public safety risk and would be relocated into isolation facilities. Once in those facilities, they would be given two options: participate in the debt forgiveness program and be released, or stay indefinitely in the isolation facility under the classification of a serious public health risk and have all your assets seized. As you can imagine, after hearing all of this, it turned into quite the heated discussion and escalated beyond anything I've ever witnessed before. In the end, it was implied by the PMO that the whole agenda will move forward no matter who agrees with it or not. That it won't just be Canada, but in fact, all nations will have similar roadmaps and agendas. That we need to take advantage of the situations before us to promote change on a grander scale for the betterment of everyone. The members who were opposed and ones who brought up key issues that would arise from such a thing were completely ignored. Our opinions and concerns were ignored. We were simply told to just do it. All I know is that I don't like it, and I think it's going to place Canadians into a dark future.
And that was 2 years ago, Danielle.
Wow. That's pretty, yeah, that's crazy. Because basically they're setting up a situation where as long as you've taken your scam, you can walk free. But if you haven't, you have to stay home, or we're going to cut your money off so you can't go anywhere. We're going to make it so you can't travel, like in the concentration camps, right? That's where they're going to put these people. Wow.
Well, and just think, though, if they take your money away and then tell you you still have to pay your mortgage, then they can cut you a deal, and they could have a whole team of IRS agents knocking on your door telling you that, all right, we'll forgive your debt, but you have to come out of your house. You don't take a thing other than the clothes that you're wearing, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty crazy. And Canada's always just like right before us. And a lot of people will do that. A lot of people, see, if you're, say, $100,000 in debt, it's probably pretty to say, yeah, I'll do it. I'll give up all these rights if I can just be out of debt, just debt forgiveness. Okay, that sounds good.
And you can't own a thing ever in your life, so then you're going to be happy not
right.
owning anything.
Exactly. And so basically any homeowners at this point would not be beneficial for them to, basically give up their home to be out of debt. I don't think that is a good deal for most homeowners. I mean, maybe
right.
if you're really like, if you've got a really large mortgage, I feel for those people in those situations, it probably really sucks. So, but I don't know. That's crazy. That it's coming. Who was that dude? I want to look him up.
Dr. Buttar, Buttar.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Very interesting.
So it might have changed a little bit, but instead of COVID, it could be moneypox or it could be something completely else.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know how the children are getting monkeypox. That's what I want to know.
Well, how is it that dog got monkeypox?
I shudder to think, because they say that you can't, it's really like 96% of the cases are from men having sex with each other.
Yeah.
And so then you get these people pop up and they're like, well, what are you saying? Are you being homophobic? No. But they've got blinders on when it comes to that community, the LGBT community, right? Like,
yeah.
they can't see it in their own community. And pedophilia happens in every community. Everybody who's listening to this, even if you weren't molested, you know somebody who was, even if you don't know that they were. This is the colonial secret. This is something that we have to be vigilant of in every community, right? So why are we overlooking a community just because they've been oppressed in the past? If there's pedophilia, I don't care if you're gay or straight. I don't want you in society. Right? So why give a pass to that community? And it's really creepy to see people, basically looking the other way and not asking questions about pedophilia in order to protect a community.
Right. So 5 years ago, it was considered absolutely disgusting. And now now you're disgusting for not wanting to accept it.
Look, I don't care who people have sex with. I don't, unless it's children. You know, like, that's my opinion.
Or animals.
Like, I... What's that?
Children or animals.
Or animals. Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. Yeah, that's just, it should be illegal, and I'm all for penalizing those. But if you're a consenting adult...
Hey, my doorbell is ringing, Danielle, if you can just hang out for a second here and just talk or whatever. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem. It really is. I see it in some people of, you know, religious people, you know, like people who are Catholic who don't, you know, want to believe that priests are molesting children, you know. It's like, you know, it's just something that no matter where, how connected you are with these things, how much they help you spiritually or mentally, you still can't look the other way when children are being abused. And it's just an, I see it more in LGBT than I do with the Catholic example. Like, it's really kind of cool how a lot of people can accept it and try to work to change it. And, you know, hopefully they're not going to be able to fix that Catholic Church, you know, pedophilia problem until Pedogate goes away. So, you know, but they, I like how people are separating themselves from the church in any way, right? So people are seeing in the Catholic Church that molestation is a problem and has been a problem for a long time. So I like to see that they can acknowledge when there's fault. In my opinion, I don't think it's going to resolve until the Catholic Church goes back to allowing priests to marry, because you know. But it is nice that at least these Catholics are separating themselves from that aspect, acknowledging what's going on, calling it out, and trying to fix it. Are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So yeah,
I don't have a clue what you were talking about, though. I'm sorry, but
no, that's fine. No, that's fine. I was actually just saying that you know, that the Catholic Church has its own, you know, pedophilia problem, and it's nice to see that for the most part, the people of the Catholic Church are acknowledging it. It's still being covered up at the top, so you know, until that changes, I don't think that it's going to be resolved, but at least good that the Catholics are starting to see it in their own community, whereas the LGBT community are so adamantly looking the other way to pedophilia that it's hard to talk to them about it. And so that's that, because then the problem will never really be fixed if they don't acknowledge it.
But this whole world, it just seems like it's just satanic. And the more I see it, the more I think that AI is going to be the face of Satan, or vice versa.
Yeah, I agree, but my take on it, any god that AI, you know, because people are like, it's going to be, AI is going to be the face of God, right? This is how the leaders are going to be immortal. But machine that can be taken out with a super soaker full of barbecue sauce isn't really something I'm going to worry about, you know. I'm food. And if I don't have that kind of technology in my life, it's fine. It's fine with me. I'm not worried about that. I actually expect it. So, I don't know. I think enough people are going to see through what they're trying to do. I think that we're going to win this. I mean, if you believe in the Bible, you kind of have to believe it, right? You kind of have to believe that we win. I read the end of the book. We win. So even though it's going to get hard,
but,
we know it's going
to get hard. Do we have to lose before we win, though? That's the question.
No. We've been losing, you know? This is the first time, this is an amazing time to be alive. Like, what, we actually have people waking up. They're, you know, the veil is definitely lifting. So many people are questioning so many things that you can't really put the jack in the box back in, you know, it's out.
My question is, how are they going to get all these billions with a B people to accept that their money is gone and to accept this digital currency?
I don't think that they will. And that's my point. There are going to be some people who do go along with this scheme, but it seems to be smaller and smaller amounts of people. There, like I said, there's so many people waking up that I think we're going to start seeing food on the side of the road before we see the masses willingly give up their property. And I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I can give an answer on that. I don't know if too many people would say, well, there's nothing I can do, so I'll just give in and go to my FEMA camp.
Well, and to those people, I say that there is something you can do. We can circumvent this whole nonsense and just grow our own food now. It's not here yet. We can grow food. That's why I did the 9 apocalypse survival plans, because it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we have enough time to fix this. So that's really what I'm focusing on. That's why I'm doing a whole hour dedicated to food and planting food and food prep, canning, you know, all of it, because I want people to have the most amount of knowledge on how to feed themselves. Because if we can take back that resource first, then they can't push us into FEMA camps. They can't really – people won't be that desperate if there's food, you know, readily available. We have false scarcity when it comes to food. So once people start seeing that, that's just another thing that's going to – that people are going to start to question. Well, why is it that groceries just charge whatever they want for food – and eat, like, especially like perishables, and if nobody buys it, then they just let it go bad.
Well, I'm more interested myself in how they think they're going to take millions of houses in the United States away.
Well, that's why they're coming after the guns.
Yeah, but I didn't see that yet, because this Digital Currency Act looks like it's finite, that there is some kind of really close direction there, but they haven't yet put a ban on guns.
Right. They can't in the Constitution. Paper has definitely gotten us a few jams, you know. So, and it was written that way for a reason, because if our speech doesn't work, you know, it basically is to back up in case the First Amendment fails, in case, you know, talking isn't an option, which is what's going on now, right? We're slowly getting pushed into, actually pretty fast, we're getting pushed into this. If you think the wrong way, then you don't have a voice. You can't reach people. You are canceled. You're deplatformed. You know, it's pretty crazy how fast they are trying to censor anybody who questions the official narrative, but that Second Amendment is there for a reason, and I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating protecting your property in a lawful and reasonable way.
Gets me, though, Danielle, is that this was written as an executive order. So why is it that we don't have a Marjorie Taylor Greene or a Rand Paul or somebody of that nature trying to push this to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's been enough time, but I just learned of its existence. So, you know, I really am interested to see what kind of news stories they were pushing at us at that time. Do you remember the date? that it was signed. March, but do you remember the date?
So let me see if it's in the article here. All right, so Executive Order 14067.
What is it, 3?
No. Executive Order 14067.
Okay, it was March 9th, my daughter's birthday.
Oh, it's my dad's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Hey, here's an interesting fact. Both me and my wife, both of our mothers were born on the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. So March 9th, 2022 news. Let's see here.
Yeah, so this didn't go through Congress or Senate. This was just written as executive order.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
And you know Brandon just didn't write this himself.
Yeah, I don't think he can write anything. Maybe he can draw some stick figures.
Yeah.
Of course. Ukraine was all in the headlines. Okay, so it might have just been all Ukraine all the time. Let's see. Let's see. Biden bans Russian oil imports. Yeah, so that was the day he banned Russian oil imports.
And then just recently, the Supreme Court ruled again that the pipelines can open up.
Yeah. I did see that. Yeah, Ukraine, dead bodies, mass graves. Climate change. Yeah, so like just the normal stuff, but that was the day that he banned oil imports. So, that's
then he was about to announce a climate emergency, and then he didn't announce it.
He was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were supposed to announce a climate emergency. Because when he was told the first time that it's unconstitutional for him to shut down all the gas and oil pipelines, he was going to call a climate emergency so that he can overrule the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But that ended up not happening.
Well, that's good. Wow. Okay. So I don't even know how you could call this unconstitutional. I guess maybe pursuit of happiness, but that's crazy. So that's why I think it's really, really important that Biden, or the Dems, lose power. Like it really just has to happen because he's just got that pen. He could just do whatever. He doesn't even need elected representatives to do the things that he wants to do. So that's pretty terrifying. I honestly, like, this is something, maybe you have some thoughts on this, but Trump, everybody keeps saying that Trump is, that they're trying to take Trump out to make it so that he can't run again, the FBI,
yeah,
the government. But why would they want to do that? Because if he doesn't run, DeSantis is going to run, and DeSantis is actually a less controversial choice. Maybe DeSantis is bought off in some way that Trump isn't. I don't know. Maybe What do you think about this? Like, why would they?
I have a bunch of ideas, but I do want to let our caller Pianki come in. Just remind me later, and I promise I'll answer.
Okay.
I don't like people to hold for too long, so Pianki, welcome in.
Hello, how is everyone? Yeah, I really enjoyed the piece about Canada. And once again, saying that DeSantis is less controversial, not to be attacking you, we're compromising. We should run who we think is best and that they are aligned with our philosophies and ideologies, especially along the Constitution of the United States. But that was something else that I heard about Canada. And I thought Canada was such a place that we wanted to mimic with state-sponsored insurance and other things of that nature, which you mean to tell me that they're threatening to take people's assets? And we've seen the things that they've done with the truckers. That was horrendous, if you ask me.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm just worried that do we have the resources to fight these people? Because most Americans are soft. They'll go with literally whatever they're told.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with the people wearing the scams.
That's true.
So I would like to think that there's enough people, but I can't verify.
Yeah, I think we have enough people. I think all we need is like 2% of the population. I think we have more like 5 or 6% on board with this. But there really are strength in numbers, and that's again why Freedomizer Radio is so important is because. You know, the three, if we're going to win, if we're going to take back our resources, there's three resources that we have to take back first, and that's food. Well, food and water. That's like, you know, one and the same for me. News and health. So, thank God that there's platforms out there that are actually speaking truth about what's going on and giving a counter-narrative and not having any of the agendas surrounding the other media network. So, you know, that's another thing. How are people going to know what to do? How are people going to know to plant food if they don't hear it, if there's no news source saying it, you know? So food, news, and health, those are the things we have to take back or they would win. But I think we can do this. I think we can. We've got enough people working behind the scenes that we're going to win this.
Well, you know, much of this movement and change is going to have to start at a state level. States are going to have to have a convention. A convention that's designed to limit the powers of the United States of the federal government. And there's a lot of areas that they need to be changed. But the state's got the power. People got to make it happen. It's easier to work it at your local and state to start it off than trying to go. They ain't going to get anything out of Congress. Those people are not going to. They're just not going to do it. It's too much that they have the game. I mean, the money involved, everything else. So this is going to have to be a state-by-state level.
Yeah, I agree.
And they just
California is a really good example of that because, our government is kind of screwed, right? I mean, we all know California. I mean, it's such rigged elections. And I really think that, you know, getting people together and strength in numbers, especially in Southern California, start planting food all over the side of the road and just see what that energy does, you know, for people. That, I understand you're talking about local and state elections, but I think California might even be too far gone. I think there's a couple local elections that we're going to really succeed in. I think that we're going to, I think Amy Reichert is going to replace Nathan Fletcher for Board of Supervisors. So there are some like local things going on. Some of the DAs are getting recalled. But I think
yeah,
really,
like the one in LA where the district attorney did whatever he could to make sure that he didn't lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Including
absolutely.
Including he got to choose which people were monitoring the elections.
Oh Christ, I didn't know that. Yeah, so
yeah.
I don't believe California elections are secure. And so the only way that I know how to fix my state is by using it to plant food all over the side of the road, everywhere I possibly can, so that we at least can feed ourselves when and be an example for the rest of the country as to how to take back at least this one resource of food. And it's low-hanging fruit, pun intended, out here. We can grow anything. Like I've said before, I think, on this show that I have a tomato forest growing in my backyard. I don't even plant tomatoes anymore because I have a forest growing, and we don't have a frost, so they never die, you know? So it's so easy to grow things here that we don't really have an excuse not to be able to feed everybody. And what would that do for us? Just knowing that everybody has access to fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables.
Well, I don't know what kind
of
access they're going to have, because if they're living in the FEMA camp, they can go outside and pick an apple off a tree, but they're still living in a FEMA camp.
So I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about what's actually going on right now and what we can do to fix it. I don't know about FEMA camp.
You don't think that's about to be a reality with these 80,000 IRS agents and a digital currency taking over the U.S. dollar?
I don't think so. I honestly think that if we plan strategically now, we won't need them.
Well, someone has to pay for that
that's
house.
That's going to happen.
What's that?
That's going to have to be a lot of individuals getting involved in it. And, you know, on those conventions, I think it should be either on the subject matter or either a specific amendment where the states come together under this convention. I don't think it should be a constitution convention, because then they would be wanting to change the constitution. No, I think that you have certain amendments that needs to be looked at, like amendment number 6 that authorizes the supremacy clause. I think the 14th Amendment needs to be looked at again, because if you're not under the jurisdiction of the United States, you have no business becoming a citizen. You're under the jurisdiction where you came from. And that's not being...
You seem to think that these liberals are just going to disappear.
No, well, they might.
I think
a lot of them are going to die, to be honest. They're on their fifth shot and standing in like a monkeypox
right
now.
And you have a lot of rhinos also.
Yeah, that are going to die.
I think we can send them to the out on the back 40 quicker than what they would anticipate doing. I think that can happen. It probably will happen.
That's true. I mean, I don't even really think that they could use, at a certain point, they couldn't even use military force, because everybody in the military had to get vaccinated, you know? Like, this is, you know, we're going to start, like the SADS video we listened to. That's a real thing. These people don't have long, especially the liberals who are in line for their fifth booster, you know?
A year and a half ago when Brandon said the post office employees don't have to get gene therapies, and they have millions of rounds of ammunition.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, there's that. I hope they're training up the post office then. But they all have our address.
The agencies that have a ton of ammunition, of course, the IRS, the Post Office, and the Social Security Office.
That's really funny. I don't know. I mean, it's either laugh or cry, honestly, because, well, whatever. You know, I just know how it ends. And I have guns, and I have property, and I have dogs. I have God. I think I'm going to be fine. I think me and my family will be fine.
Well, Brandon changed the Title IX. He changed Title IX, whereas he deputized teachers, whereas they can override parents on their children's gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think that 2 million students didn't enroll in public school for a reason this year. 2 million. Did you know that 2 million children were taken out of the public school system this year?
That's a good sign. That's what you should do. That's what parents should do.
Yes, absolutely. So I know that, you know.
Don't let yourself be forced.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that when I'm standing and being judged, I will be able to say that my children were not subjected to this, to any of this torture. And we do, you know, homeschool, and we plant food all the time. And I teach other people how to plant food all the time. And so that's my contribution. That's what I'm doing. And I can say that when the revolution was happening, I was making sure that my community was fed and that my children were not the pawns being played with in this game. So, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I would say that you're making a great contribution in showing that people can contribute, participate, help, volunteer in more ways than one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because at a certain point, with this, you know, what if our governmental structure does fail? Then what? Do we have a backup plan besides Mad Max? And this is what I'm choosing to put my energy into. And if our government doesn't fail, then great, we got strawberries. But if it does, then we'll be able to survive. I hope more people can do that. And more people are doing it every day. 2 million, actually. And the fact that under the babies, there's less than 5% of babies got that COVID jab. I feel optimistic.
Well, I still think they're going to use the monkeypox to pull off another heist.
Oh, I hope you're wrong. I do see it. I've been seeing it come for a while, and I'm just like, no, no, go away. Nope, we're not doing this. I put my foot down. I said, we cannot have monkeypox until I get murder hornets. This is bullshit. I've been waiting for murder hornets this long, and they're not going to get skipped. Monkeypox, wait.
Well, don't worry. They'll have another one.
I'm sure. I know. According to that video, that's scary, man, that they're just going to keep releasing waves with larger and larger death rates. Probably true.
Well, Fauci is stepping down. He's quitting. I wonder who's going to take his place. Amy Goodman?
I don't. Yeah. Maybe a Kardashian can do it. I don't know.
You got to find somebody that's a black gay immigrant like that Jean-Pierre.
Yeah, maybe somebody like Mary J. Blige or something. Maybe she'll get it.
Yeah.
Well, I still think we should be doing elections dancing with the stars style, you know, let you get voted off that way. I mean, it could be hosted by the Kardashians, right? I think we got something going on here.
Hey, did you hear the rumor about, and I know this isn't a football show, but did you hear the rumor about why Tom Brady took a little bit of time off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No.
So rumor is that he got cleared to have off until August 20th because he showed up on the 21st and practiced. Rumor is that he's on that Masked Singer show because he has a contract with Fox, and he's supposed to be an analyst when he retires. And because he retired and unretired, they were able to get him allegedly, and we don't know until the episode shows up. But allegedly he was on the show, and he did that as a favor for his contract.
Okay, so this is just in right now. This is from justthenews.com. Biden White House facilitated DOJ's criminal probe against Trump. Subtle privilege claims and some memos. So they knew about it. They facilitated it. They did it.
Yeah. So what does that mean, though?
That means the White House knew, and the White House ordered it.
No, I realize that, but that doesn't make it legal, does it?
No, none of this is legal. None of this is legal. And this really boomeranged on them, on the Democrats, in a big way. So, wow,
that the same people that played around with that Gretchen Whitmer alleged plot is the ones that raided Mar-a-Lago. That's just weird to me.
Yeah. I know. I thought it was the Crossfire Hurricane people that were doing it. It's not.
Well, if you're looking at justthenews.com, if you look at the right, it's the number one trending.
Yeah, it's a lot of connections that's going on there with people, Epstein, Hunter Biden, Liz Cheney's husband affiliation with a law firm, Latham, is working with Hunter Biden. So it's a lot of connections that's going on there that should be opening eyes.
Yeah, and I said it on this show last week that I do think that all of these soft disclosures, like the Epstein Netflix documentary, the Leslie Wexner documentary, the all the stuff that came out on Nixium, Jimmy Savile. All of these, I think these are like soft disclosures. Like, so now Mar-a-Lago gets raided and the judge that was previously a lawyer for Epstein just happens to be the one that signed off on it. Now people are like, ooh, what, huh? Because they think that now they know that they're experts because, you know, us who have been screaming this from the mountains for 5+ years, you know every little detail in and out of it, you know. Now all of a sudden somebody watched a Netflix documentary and they're an expert on Epstein, but that's fine. I'm hoping that since I'm in the know, now I know to listen for for Epstein, and that can't be good if he represented Epstein. Right. So I think people are waking up to this stuff. And I think it was going to come out eventually, but I think that there's a lot of questioning going on for the first time from the normies. So I think all of these are good signs.
Do you realize how much of our life we've donated toward this topic of Donald Trump and the deep state? And we're even subconsciously dedicating part of our future, 2024, toward it too. And of course,
yep.
What comes after that? We're talking about 4, 8, 12 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, that's true. And I'll keep being interested in this, and I'll keep trying to get the message out about this. A lot of these are very deep, dark topics that are just probably enough to break an average person. So they have to be disclosed lightly, timely. Like they can't be bombarded with it delicately. So I think that in order to do that, you really do have to spend a little bit more time on it and dedicate a little bit more of our lives to it, just so that in order for these people to have a fighting chance, like, and not have a nervous breakdown when they realize that, the highest levels of our government have raped children, and drank their blood and do sacrifices and all of these horrible trauma-based mind control mechanisms. And it's all there. It's all there on paper. It's hard for the average brain to comprehend, I think.
We had to spend 8 years of keeping up with what Obama was doing. We had 4 years of Trump. That's 12. Now we're going to have 4 years of Biden. That's 16. And then we might as well count another 4 years at least after the 2024 election. That's 20 years of your life.
Or do we stop wasting our energy and start planting food, right? Like, that's – because honestly, like, I was under the neoliberal spell when Obama was president. I voted for Obama. I was very much a CNN watching liberal, and I woke up, and I'm so glad that I did, but I spend every day making amends for being under that spell. But I am proof that people can wake up from it, and a lot of people did over the last few years. I would say over the last 5 or 6, a lot of people have woken up, and I believe it was because of politics. And once you get to the end of that road, though, and realize that watching and making sure and being vigilant and trying to get the right people into office, especially on a federal level, is really it might be a waste of time. And so maybe we try a different way and come together with our communities and make sure that we can feed ourselves when the system implodes.
Well, that's a good idea. I tell you what, you better have too. You better have some weapons to protect what you grow, because people who don't, they're going to come take what you got from you.
It's possible, but that's why I spend half of my time growing on my farm and half the time growing on the side of the road, right? And there's all over my neighborhood, I could go and take a 20-minute walk around my neighborhood and find 10 different varieties of food just growing outside. There are two pumpkin patches growing out of cracks on the sidewalk 2 blocks away from where I am right now. Nobody planted them. Nobody waters them. They just grew themselves. It really is, in my situation, and it's not like this everywhere, but in my situation, in my perfect growing climate, we have so much food that they're not going to need to come into my yard. It's everywhere here because me and people in my community, like-minded people in my community, have been growing everywhere for the last 5 years. Instead of focusing so much on politics, we've been growing on the side of the road. And I really do think that if there's going to be a list of cities that I think will make it, San Diego's definitely on it. L.A. might not be, but they can grow the same food that we can here.
Well, a slice of hot pumpkin pie and a scoop of vanilla ice cream sounds pretty good right about now.
Mmm. me. I might have to go get ice cream after the show.
I don't eat pumpkins, so you can have mine.
You don't eat pumpkins? Why not?
No. I just don't like it. I've tried. I don't do pumpkin spice anything. I'm just not a pumpkin guy. I will eat pumpkin seeds, though. So you can have the pumpkin. I'll eat the seeds.
Well, wait a minute. You have broccoli, man. Now you probably need to have a skit on pumpkin, man.
But the thing I have doesn't broccoli is the only vegetable that they have. They're called Super Zeros, and they only have a finite amount of characters.
Maybe you can put in a request.
I was debating. I was actually debating on canceling my commitment with them because they haven't had any update in about 3 years, and they have no plans for any updates at this time.
Yeah, maybe switching Broccoli Man over to something else.
Yeah, but then I lose Broccoli Man because nobody else is going to have that character available.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Maybe you can have a vegan eat Broccoli Man, and then that'll be his end, and you can have a different superhero on your next one.
Well, there's no other. The other company that does this stuff doesn't have superheroes like that, so I would have to do something else.
Okay.
Well, fellows, I'm going to cut out.
All right.
Bedtime. I really appreciate it, as always. You guys have some good conversation. I think you're doing a great service. And I like to contribute every chance that I can. Hopefully it makes the things better.
Oh, thank you so much. It was nice chatting with you, too. Okay, so let's see. What else? What else is going on?
Oh, there's still a lot of videos we haven't hit.
Okay.
So we do have, we got a couple of Dan Bongino stuff. I don't mind sharing that.
The media is gaslighting you into believing that there's been some big sea change and the Democrats are going to either win or they're doing so much better. Just be careful. I can't predict what's going to happen in the election, but Red State is a good piece by the great Bonchi. It's in my newsletter again today. All this talk of the Democrat comeback, folks, just be careful about this. She notes that on this day during the 2014 election cycle, Democrats led by 1.4%. The final result was Republicans by 5.7%. She notes again, in 2016, Dems led by 5 on the generic ballot. On election day, Republicans won by 1. Even in 2020, the generic ballot overstated Democrat support by 3.7 percentage points. Be very careful of all this talk of a big Dem comeback. Why? Here's a video I was talking about with Chuck Todd. Why is the media panicking about the Inflation Reduction Act and the IRS audits that are going to come from it? Media is panicking, as even Chuck Todd has to note, because the public's not buying any of this crap. Check this out.
People are skeptical that this thing is actually going to help them. So a plurality thought not make a difference with 36%. But 35% thought the bill would make things worse for me. 26% thought they would make things better for me.
Folks, though, you know, this is supposed to be his big legislative accomplishment. Even NBC has to note, most people aren't buying this. Finally, here's another Chuck Todd video here. The most devastating poll in America, and one you should always keep track of, that invariably correlates to a political victory or loss for the party, is the right track, wrong track poll. I'm not telling you it's the only data point, but I'm telling you if you go back over time, it is one of the best indicators of how an election is going to go. And it's very simple. If a majority of people think the country's on the wrong track, the party in power is going to get smoked. If they think it's on the right track, they won't. Listen to these devastating numbers about that very same poll. Again, from NBC. Check this out.
We are are less than 3 months before the midterms, and our brand new NBC News poll paints a pretty bleak picture. Americans are angry, they're disappointed, and they are worried about the future of this country. Just 21% of adults say we are heading in the right direction, and once again, 3 out of 4 Americans say we are on the wrong track. In fact, this number, never before in our poll, has this wrong track number been over 70% for this long. It's been nearly a year now. 58%, by the way, say America's best years are behind us. That's an all-time high in our poll.
So I'm going to take a hard pass on the media stories about the big Democrat comeback after the Inflation Reduction Act, which people hate. Wrong track, through the roof. I'm going to end on this note. All this talk is BS. Dan, it's a talk show. No, it is. It's all BS. No, I'm not lying to you. This is what I'm telling you is true. But I'm saying BS because if you don't do anything, this show is meaningless, and so is everything else I've told you. If you are not registered to vote in this November election, do it today. If your family isn't registered to vote, get them to register today. If you're not knocking on 10 doors, calling 10 friends, sending 10 social media posts, the 10, 10, and 10 rule, and you're not doing what you can, I'm sorry. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
All right.
Yeah,
I want to play one more Dan Bongino, and then Danielle,
okay.
I'll give you a word, and then Vito wants to call in. So
okay,
I wanted to follow that up with Dan Bongino talking about that digital currency we were getting into earlier.
One of the biggest mistakes we could make is going towards a digital dollar. I have warned you so often about this story that I'm actually hoping some of you are listening to this segment right now and saying, Dan, enough already. Why would I be hoping that? The content's for you. I can't warn you enough about this to the point where I need you being evangelists against this thing and calling your Congress people today. There is now a bipartisan effort that's growing to expand the Fed into the digital dollar space. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be the single most destructive act to your freedom and liberty in modern times. I am not exaggerating. That's an opinion I have based in reality. Here, Politico. Banks and crypto lobby clash with lawmakers over the Fed digital dollar. Andy Barr is one of the few guys, I guess, who gets it up on the Hill. He's a Republican from Kentucky saying, no, this sounds like a bad idea. The government will be able to see where you spend your money, will be able to shut down where you can spend your money. It will be able to take your money away by shutting it off. But you think confiscating assets now, confiscating people's property pursuant to a crime? Imagine this, Joe. You get accused of a crime you didn't commit. The government does civil forfeiture against you. Next thing you know, all your digital dollars, you pull up your phone to go buy milk and cookies, and you have no money.
Nope.
Anybody thought of this? Negative interest rates, which we've talked about a lot. Negative interest rates. Your money disappears every day. Government says, think about it. We need to incentivize people to go spend money. Well, I've got an idea. Let's just make interest rates negative. So if they don't spend it, they lose it. Brilliant. This is the stupidest idea I have ever seen. The same idiots in the beginning of the show with the Afghanistan pullout, the southern border, the inflation crisis, and destroying our public schools. You want them to be able to watch and control your money? Here's Andy Barr in Politico. Again, one of the few guys who gets it. He says, quote, the prospect of government surveillance of Americans' individual financial transactions through a digital dollar and Fed accounts raises serious privacy concerns. You think? He notes, not to mention concerns about government control, politicization of loans, making loans political from the government. There's another one I didn't even consider. Online payments, credit scores, tax compliance, federal contracts, monetary policy, and the like, says Andy Barr. He sits on the Financial Services Committee. I want to send a personal thank you to Andy Barr and invite him on the show to talk about this. This is really, really bad. Now you get government contracts. The government spends trillions of dollars. You want to get a contract? Do you have enough DEI people, diversity, equity, and inclusion, CRT people on your board? No digital dollars for you. It's a really bad idea. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
All right, so Danielle, if you want to get a word in, and then I'll bring Vito in.
Okay. I really like Dan Bongino. He definitely nails it. And also, the one thing he left out is that these are also the people who want health care in government hands too. That's a horrible idea. I mean, that's their ultimate end goal, is to get control of all of it, of all aspects of our lives. So it's not surprising, but it's shocking to hear it and see it being laid out. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
All right, well, let's bring Vito in here. Vito, welcome into the show tonight.
Hey, Proof, how are you? How's everything, guys?
All right, thanks for calling in.
Everything good? That's fine. Listen, I just called in when you were talking, you had this Bongino thing on. And the government has always been at odds, not with just us, but this might be a little bit off, but they've always been at odds with the mob. If they put digital currency in, the government becomes the mob. They wipe out everything. They kill everything. All right? And he is not lying when he says it's over. Once they do this, it is over. They will know how much you make to the penny, where you spend it. I mean, your bank accounts, I mean, I guess I'm pretty sure our bank accounts are not private. I'm sure that they do watch, they do. They know whenever we have a deposit over $10,000, they have to be notified. Uh-huh. But I do believe that they do watch out. They look at our bank accounts whenever they want to. I have no doubt. I have no doubt with that. But you can't even buy gold or silver. You know what I mean? You won't be even. What about commodity? What about gold and silver? What about physical possession of gold and silver? What are you going to do with that? You cash it and you deposit it into a bank. I mean, they're going to outlaw all currency then. Gold is money. Silver is money. That's real money.
Yeah.
And they're going to create their own money now. It'll be in stone. It'll be cemented right then and there. This is it. There's nothing else. You can't barter for this. You can't barter. It's money, digital money, and it's going to ruin us. It's going to kill
us. Can't you barter that?
You watch what it's going to do.
Wondering why you think we couldn't barter.
Well, that's because even in the Bible, when they talk about this kind of stuff, where if you get caught feeding somebody that doesn't have the mark, then you face the same fate as the person that doesn't have the mark.
There
you go.
What? I'm going to need to see some evidence of this. Where does it say this? Is this a New Testament?
I'm not a scholar. I just know what I read. They don't want you feeding people that aren't authorized. That's like aiding and abetting the criminals. That's like catching the people that were hiding the Jews.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Jesus took the whip out and went after the money changers.
Yeah, he went after the government of the time.
The money changers. That's basically what it is. Yes.
Yeah, in front of the church, and the church was part of that. The problem that was, because they were basically, the church and law were one back then, which is why I question the whole "don't feed," the unwashed or whatever. Because there is a law called gleaning, a biblical law called gleaning, where if you have a field of say orange trees, and a wind blows off the orange and it hits. It hits the ground, people can go and pick up that, or you can't sell it. That's what the biblical law, Levitical law says, is you can't sell it. You have to leave it for the unwashed, for the poor, for the needy.
Mm. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever government does, it's not to our benefit. It's to their benefit. They can care less what we do. As long as they control us, as long as we do what they tell us to do, they can care less.
That's true, which is why I suggest that we turn our back on the system altogether, right? Like, we can barter in this system. We don't have to take their money. We don't have to use their money. Even Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, right? We don't have to use that currency system. We can choose to just use cooperation as a currency.
But that render unto Caesar, which is belongs to Caesar, the left twists that. That's the problem.
But that's because they don't know the Bible. Because the time and the place and the why it says that Jesus was walking with his disciples, and basically a naysayer came up to Jesus and asked him about taxes, and he picked up a coin with Caesar's face on it and said, "Shrug, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Right? Like, if that's his money, then give it to him. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to participate in that monetary system. You can use the cooperation and bartering and community as a form of currency, and it would be much more efficient.
Yeah, but Danielle, but I get it, but they're going to want to know, how you're surviving, where are you getting this, where are you getting that, without spending money.
Uh-huh, right. So I'm growing my own food. I'm trading food for...
And Danielle,
they are slowly
outlawing that, too.
Well, that's where the fight is, then.
We're at the point now where we cannot even collect rainwater. Mm-hmm. There are some places where they do not want us to collect rainwater.
Yeah, there's seven states that
California.
Have that on the books.
It is
California,
crazy that you can't collect rainwater. If I collect rainwater, I collect it for myself to water my plants, which I can't grow now.
Right. Well, but that's the law has to do with drinking the rainwater. You can collect it, but we're allowed to water our plants with rainwater.
But why can't you drink if you distill it? If you have the capability of distilling rainwater, and you could drink it too, no?
Yeah, you could. And that's where the strength in numbers comes in. Technically, it's illegal to plant food on the side of the road, but we do it anyway. And if enough people do it...
Danielle, but I understand that, and you're right. But the problem is, strength in numbers, unfortunately, is in the ballot, is when you go vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the monster right there.
We don't have a ballot box that works in California.
No. California is wow, man. California is shot, man.
It really is. So honestly, I still support campaigns. And I run like parallel campaigns for myself. I was on the ballot for Congress in 2018, and I was in the recall election, write-in candidate for the recall election. But really, all I'm doing, the reason I'm doing this, is to reach out to our like the Democratic Party in some way. I don't really deal with them. The Republican Party in some way. The Green Party in some way. And to get these people to help organize plant food, honestly, and do what I call the real Green Deal, as leave politics
right
at the door and let's blow some shit, Let's take back resources.
But, yeah, you're 100% right. But, again, what do you have as a resource to get people to hear you? The media is not on your side. We know that.
For sure.
Right? They're going to push whatever agenda they're told to push. And they're gonna discredit you as best they could.
Oh yeah, they already did that. They tried that. They tried to get my kids taken away from me. Said I was a drug addict. Said I was stealing from my campaign. cheating on my husband, abusing my children, you know, all of it. They tried it all. None of it was real. None of it sucked, you know? So I understand that there would be a lot, and there still remains a lot of, you know, hatred and, you know, attempts to take me down. But I don't know. I'm kind of untouchable. I'm just a mom, and I plant food. And, you know, if you want to say that that's terroristic, that's funny, though. I don't think people would really believe that a stay-at-home homeschool mom who plants food and says absolutely don't be violent is in any way a terrorist. So
no,
I'm happy to
not.
Be that example. Yeah.
Right. But the thing is...
The key point is that we are withdrawing consent. Right, we're not attacking. We're not saying burn down buildings or any of that. We're saying withdraw consent, which is completely the opposite of terrorism, and plant food. So,
well, I agree with you 100%. But the problem, and you know, the problem out there is you got people that just believe everything that comes out of that tube.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they're going to be dead soon because they're quadruple vax.
Oh my God!
They're in the wait list for the monkeypox vaccine. How long can these people survive this? You know, the people that you're talking about are not going to be with us for very long, in my opinion.
I mean,
terrorism.
They're going to make it look like it's terrorism. They're going to gaslight it and make it something else. They're going to set off a bomb or something. They may start a world war. They may start a nuclear war just to cover up what they did.
I would not doubt it. And a participant in that war, right? And I think the strategy of consent, plant food, stay peaceful, focus on creation and growth and love instead of destruction and chaos and fear, that's what they want. They feed off that energy. So
yeah, but
if you get it,
I used to work with a guy and he's a West Indian, and he always pushed peace and love, and I told him, you're going to see what peace and love is all about soon. I said this to him a couple of years ago, and slowly what I was implying is coming, it's happening. That piece of
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a gun.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I
understand that. I totally get that part. You know, but you know, they will think that. Well, you know, if we have peace and love and we talk about it, you know, it'll all work itself out. And it's no. These people, and I say these people, they want us as slaves, plain and simple. And that's what they're almost there. They are almost there, Daniel. You know, they're trying to destroy crypto. You know, I don't see a problem with crypto. If you can make money off it, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. It's like a stock market.
Right.
There's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. I listened to a few things today, but I was listening to Mark Levin on the radio. And, he had a substitute on today on the show, a guy Dominic Carter. He used to be he was a leftist when he used to be on News One New York, all right, until he got arrested for beating up his wife. Then I think he had a political transformation. I don't know if it's a real political transformation, but, you know, he's saying all the right things right now. And he says this crime stuff has to end. They have to fix this bail reform. They have to do that. They have to do this. They got to do that. They got to get rid of the Democrat politicians. They had a Democrat strategist on the radio today, and the guy was talking to him and telling him that the Democrat Party, where it's going, is not good. It's going too progressive. It took a hard left turn, and if we don't fix this election now, we're going to go to the point of no return. If it's not fixed in the midterm and the next Senate race, whatever the next Senate race is. the big ones. You know, they come every couple of years, but every senator has, what, 6 years in? I don't know. I thought it was 4 years. 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, I thought it was 4 years. And, you hear Nancy Pelosi. She said China is one of the freest democracies out there. I'm like,
yeah.
What the hell is she talking about? Right? They were talking about, you know, this on the TV. They had another guy that was talking about, you know, how capitalism works and how the Chinese communist system works. And here, and they were discussing the military, how the military is in China is so got to be so strong, so fast. In America, if a company doesn't make money, they shut down. All right.
Mm-hmm.
In China, if a company isn't making money, the Chinese communists will pump more money into that company as long as the government is getting what they need out of that company. It's not to let the company go.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he explained it was perfect. I mean, that's not freedom to me.
No, it's not. But you know, I personally don't think that we can achieve freedom until we take the power away from a small handful of people, a minority of people, is that what we entrust to make all of our decisions. The power has to go to the majority, or it will always be corrupted. Any ism, capitalism, socialism, you know, fascism, you know, communism, all of these isms basically give a small amount of people all of the power over the production capabilities.
We give them the power. And the problem is when you go vote, you know, look, I think that they should make Election Day a mandatory day that you go vote. Everyone should go to vote on that day. Not mail-in ballots. Absentee ballots, all right, if you're in a hospital, you know, long-term, if you're not able to vote on election day, if you're out of the country or whatever, I get it. But you know, these absentee ballots, though, because people have to work. No, make it a mandatory day that you have to get off your ass and go to your polling place and vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you hear 10%, like in New York City, like 10% of the people voted. I mean, How do you run an election like that? How do you let someone control you when only 10% of the people of those
yeah, but there's an issue with that. I'll just explain
and
to you what
issue?
Happens here in Vegas. So in Vegas, the unions go to all the casinos, and if you did not vote, then they go around and they have a ballot already made for you, and then you just sign it.
Yeah.
And shame,
right,
and shame on you for signing it.
Right. But,
well,
I mean,
but then
do
if you don't care who wins, if you're not interested, that by forcing someone to vote, that's the type of ballot harvesting that you can expect, because people will vote just because it's illegal not to, and then you'll have these ballot harvesters just filling stuff out because the average person doesn't want to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
It would make the problem worse, Vito.
Well, what, by people getting up and voting?
By making it mandatory to vote, because you'll have people that have ballots already
made, and
people don't want to take the time. So
I'm talking about people getting up and going to their polling place and actually reading a ballot.
I get that, but people don't want to do it. So people would take the lazy way, and they would pay somebody to make a ballot for them.
Well, then we're gonna have a Holocaust again. Well, we are actually in a couple more years.
People
think,
have to learn the hard way, Vito. That's how it is.
People are going to get a free
and all the mayhem.
Oh, man.
I mean, the Constitution is pretty clear on what we must do if a lot of things, if the separation of powers aren't observed. Basically, if they break their contract with us, the contract spells out what we must do to the government.
And we're already
and I think
there.
That,
right.
Yeah.
And this January 6th stuff is it's kind of a way of them showing us you can't do what's in that contract. You're going to do what we say.
Yeah, that was their attempt for sure. I'm definitely with you on that. But my point always has been we cannot appear to be violent in the slightest when we do this. There is
no,
a way to do
no,
this.
But,
that and even if they could appear to make you look violent, that's what they did on January 6th. But what I'm saying is that we withdraw consent from the system. We just turn our backs on the system. We don't do anything with the system. We move forward as community, you know, with our communities and make sure that we have everything that we need. I'm willing to come back to a voting system again if it's fixed. But for now, it's so broken. I'm basically doing what the Constitution is saying to do, and that is withdrawing consent. They broke their contract. We have to walk away from ours.
All right. I totally agree with you. I understand. But there were too many – there also are idiots out there who do not care about the Constitution also. And
true.
The majority of those that do vote now, all right, that 10%, those are the leftists that go and vote. I mean, we have Mayor Adams here in New York City, and he is way out of his league, all right? He is way, way out of his league, all right? But at the same time, I understand that, and this is the thing, he will not pressure Hochul, the governor, to get the state legislature to get in there and reform the bail reform. Put it back to what it was.
Right. Yeah, and they won't do it, right? So it's just going to get worse and worse. So you're in a blue state, too. So you feel my pain. You just can't grow tomatoes all year round like we can. We got it a little easier out here. But states, these big blue states, like there's not really a way to vote our way out of it. There's no way that 20 million votes were counted in 8 minutes in the recall election, but somehow they were, and nobody was able to question it, right? So, how do you vote your way out of that? Perhaps it's sheer numbers, you know. Perhaps it's sheer numbers. But I don't know about the blue state. I don't know if we can overcome it.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are six people in my home, and all of us vote conservative, Republican conservative. We will never vote Democrat.
That's
right?
Good.
You know, I have... my daughter's boyfriend is a conservative. My son, my son's in-laws, they're all conservative or Republican anyway. They are Arabs. They're Egyptian, but they do vote conservative. They see the shit that's out here, and they're like, we don't want this.
Yep.
You know, this is crazy what's going on. You know, and they're Muslim. They are Muslim. But they know that we can't live like this.
Yep.
I mean, what's gonna be done to us next? I mean, what is there gonna be another Hitler? Is there gonna be another Stalin? Amin? Castro? What's waiting for us? Something bad is coming. That I know. Not that I know for a fact, but I feel it. And, you know, people. I've always said I was crazy, you're nuts, you don't know what you're talking about. But now a few at a time come back to me and they say, you know what, you were right. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm seeing everything that you're saying now. You said it 10 years ago, and here we are now. And what's being done about it? Nothing. Nothing is being done about it, Danielle. The blue states?
California. I don't know what California's going to say. Honestly, I don't know. Oh,
your phone went robot on you, Vito.
How about now, Proof?
You're good.
Better.
Okay. I don't know if California could be fixed. Honestly, I don't know. You know, you may have a few small pockets there that vote Republican. But, you know, you have San Francisco. They got rid of Boudin. All right. But they still have a mayor that thinks like him. L.A., they want to get rid of Gascon, whatever his name is, the D.A., but they still have a mayor that thinks like him.
Yeah,
you might be sweeping up some of the crumbs, but that loaf of bread is still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a
crazy analogy, but you know, I mean, even you know, like I said, my son, he's a cop. He was never cared about voting. I don't get involved in that shit, Daddy. I'm not. And all of a sudden, in 2020, he voted. He saw what was going on. Right after the Uncle Floyd shit, he saw what was going on. He voted, man. He voted conservative down the line. Either Republican or conservative, he voted down the line.
That's
nothing Democrat. You know, my daughter, when she started as a nurse, she saw her first paycheck. She got in the car when I picked her up. She's like, Daddy, I got like half my paycheck is gone. I was like, well, welcome to the real world now, Dad. This is what it is now. Why? Because, listen, all the people that are, all the illegals that have been bust up here in New York City, right? Adams is complaining. It was in today's New York Post. Adams was complaining that Texas has been sending them up here, but yet, we're giving them free medical. What does the paper say? Free medical, cell phones, school supplies. We're giving them everything. Free rent, everything. And who's paying for that? There's nothing free. I'm paying for that. The working swab is paying for that. And people just don't give a shit in this city because they think that there's a utopia out there that can be fixed. Communism can be done correctly. But they don't understand that the only way communism rules is by the, and Stalin said it, is ruled by the end of a ballot, of a gun. He said it himself.
Yeah.
And this is what they want. This is what they're about. And this, you know, with all the criminal stuff that Biden and Clinton did for the last 7 years, 6 years or whatever, all right? And they go and they get a search warrant on Trump's house. With all that was done, they went after Trump. And everybody's happy. Now Trump is going to jail. What about Biden? What about Hillary Clinton? When are they going to go to jail? When are they going to get arrested?
I don't think he's going to go to jail. I think they botched this up, so badly that there's no way that he can be charged with anything.
You don't think they can arrest him?
No, I don't think that. They might arrest him, but I don't. There's no way really to bring these charges because there were things that were taken that were not
Danielle,
on the search
Danielle,
warrant.
Danielle, hear me out. They want him on television in handcuffs. They want to perp walk him. Perp walk is when you know somebody's arrested and they walk. You know, somebody commits a big crime. In New York City, that's what we call a perp walk, and where the cops are walking the guy out in handcuffs. They want to do that for Trump. They want that vision. They want that vision out there.
Yeah, that might happen. I can give you that. I don't think he's going to go to jail. I don't even think it's going to go to trial, though.
But the point is, they need to do something to stop him. Short of killing him, the perp walk is their next and final step. If they can't do that, they are going to kill him. I bet money on it. Are they going to try?
Yeah, they will try to. They will definitely perp walk him. But it seems
they've gone too far now for someone to throw a monkey wrench in their work. They're not going to allow it.
Yeah.
They're going to go for broke. And like I said, 2024, 2025, that's when all this COVID stuff is supposed to come to a head, supposedly. I mean, I don't know why, you know, I'm not saying it's the COVID stuff, but Deagle put out projected numbers of population decrease, and the U.S. was under 100 million in 2025. So you tell me where the other 300 million are going.
They're going to die because they all got vaccinated. They're going to have a heart attack, die suddenly.
We all know that. We all understand that. I was listening to Stu Peters. I think it was yesterday's show. Friday show, I'm sorry, or Thursday show, where they have someone on. They're starting now to get morticians and medical examiners basically telling them that they're pulling stuff out of people's arteries that defy science. They've never seen something before what they're seeing. And the thing is, they can't explain what it is. They damn well know what it is. We know what it is. It doesn't take a doctor to figure this all out.
Absolutely.
Suddenly they have sudden adult death syndrome? Oh, come on.
Yeah,
come on.
I know what's killing
everybody. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, I lost two cousins in 5 days. Less than 5 days.
Yep.
And they are afraid to say what it was.
Yeah, I know. But people think that we're all round up in FEMA camps, but I think the depopulation is going to come from the willing lab rats.
Yeah, that's going to be the most of it. But then, what are they going to do to the ones that survive?
They need some of us. You know, they can't continue their lives the way they need us without people.
Yes, they need us to suit them, though. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by then they're going to have a system in place where they're going to, whoever's not killed is going to be rounded up and sent to some kind of camps for re-education. Or they may be forced vaccine them. We don't know what's going on. This is not going to end well. That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to be bulldozing bodies in the streets.
That we are the authors of this thing. And whatever energy we put into it is what we are going to get out of it. So that's why, like, I know that I seem just, like, very optimistic and almost naive, but the reason that I'm saying these things is because we are the authors of this. And we are going to be responsible for the outcome. Like, I don't like the helpless position that, oh, we're just here and what's coming is scary and we're not going to be able to... No, I don't subscribe to that reality, to that future. I subscribe to the future where we do survive because we've planted food now. And, we have the ability to run electricity because we thought ahead to buy generators. And, and I know that everywhere is different, right? Like, I live in Southern California. I've got solar panels for days. We sell electricity to the power companies because that's just how it is out here. I know that we've got it easy. But somebody in New York knows how to do this. Somebody in Boston, somebody in Vegas. People have already thought about how to be self-sufficient off of this grid. So those are the people we need to seek out align our energy with those people and make it so that we can create a future that is not negative and fearful and full of FEMA camps and we just lost. I don't subscribe to that. I'm going to make it so that we not only survive but thrive within our community.
Yeah, but they're goading us to violence.
Yes, they sure are. And do not.
They are goading us to violence. And even
absolutely.
And even if it's a, even if they false flag something and say it was a Republican that did it, or it was a it was a conservative that did it. Look at them. And then what? Then once that genie gets out of the bottle, man, there's no way we're gonna put that back in until there is a winner declared.
Right. Well, that's, you know, like I said, we're the author of this thing, right? And so, yeah, we know that there's false flags. We can choose to ignore them. We can choose to, you know, like I said, if that does happen, do you think that they're going to be able to convince people that I'm a terrorist by being a homeschool mom who plants food everywhere? No.
Yeah.
It's in our actions, right?
But look at what the WHO did. The WHO pushed COVID, pushed vaccines. They had the head of the WHO. He was interviewed, and he was asked if he's vaccinated, and he basically said he wasn't.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate that so many people fell for this.
I try to make people understand that, and it's not sinking through their thick skulls.
Yes, I mean I understand. And it's very sad that so many people are going to die because they fell for this scam. But it's not going to be us.
No, correct. It's not going to be us.
So do you think that putting your energy into voting and getting other people to vote, is that the only way you're preparing for this situation that you're envisioning?
The only way to prepare, Danielle, is the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Yep. And
that's
we're prepared.
That's my energy. That is. I have food stored. I don't know how long it's gonna last. I don't know how long it's good for. But you know, they want violence. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Everything they do. They knew. They knew exactly what they were doing when they went after Trump a couple weeks ago in his house. They knew, that it was going to, get a certain. They wanted a certain reaction, but it's slowly building up to something that I think is really going to happen.
Mhm.
They want to do this.
They do.
They want to put their foot on our necks in the worst way.
Agreed. So how do we stop them? I like that you have a plan. You've got food prepared. You've got a gun. You know, I'm sure that you're doing everything that you can do to protect your family. But, maybe think about, kale grows all year around. You could do microgreens, you know. There's ways that you can supplement that food.
Danielle, yes. Absolutely, but then you have to worry about your neighbors, because your neighbors, not all your neighbors think like you.
Yeah, I understand, and it gets cold there, right? Like I said, I don't know how to grow food year-round in New York. I do here, right? And so that's
no,
why...
The only way I would think how to do it in New York in the wintertime is hydroponics. You do it in your home, but you ain't going to grow tomatoes. You're gonna have a whole house full of vegetables and stuff.
Yeah, you can have. There's towers right now. There's actually a really neat. Don't you have one, Fruit? Like a vegetable tower?
Yeah, I have one.
You know, so.
But you can also grow in the summer and fall, and then can.
Yeah. Exactly. So there are ways. Rooftop gardens are definitely a thing that you can do in the city, and that way, especially it would be more secure to do it on the roof of a building, because then you could protect the building. But there are ways of doing it, and I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure that there are hundreds of people in New York that have already thought about how to sustain a city all throughout the winter, and how to prepare for the spring to efficiently grow for everybody there. I'm sure that it can be done. And I'm sure that it can be improved.
Yes.
I'm sure that And when we remove this element of food ownership that capitalism has on it, then it's going to be more efficient. You're not going to see grocery stores throwing things out that went bad because nobody could pay the price of the, you know, for the food. You know, that's something that the efficiency and the automation that could happen growing food in a city like New York, it could be a model for the rest of the world. So that's what I'm like. Everything else really can wait, but there are a few things that if we're going to survive this, that we have to have control over. And I think the top priority is food and water.
Yeah. No.
No, I try not.
I mean,
the
one good thing. I mean, I have.
Go ahead.
I have a home here in the city, and I have a home in the country. My power, I'm reliant on the grid in both places. But my water comes from a well, as opposed to in the city, it comes from the city. So I know I could get my own water as long as I have power. So I understand where you're coming from. I totally understand that. I do have a generator in my country house, but unfortunately, it's not hooked up to a gas line. It's hooked up to a propane tank.
Mm-hmm.
So now I would have to get propane to run my generator, and that's the problem.
You should do, I think you can look at it into a solar generator. I know the sun isn't as intense there as it is here, but, on clear days, even though it's cold, the sun still picks up, the energy.
Well, in my country house, I'm in a high elevation. I'm at about 1200 feet. So
okay, nice.
I have plenty of daylight up there and I have a clear view of the sky, in PA. But again, I'm hardly ever there now because I'm working. You know, my new job, it's taking me away from that home.
Yeah. Are you in New York now?
Now I am until Thursday. Then Thursday I go back out on the road.
Oh, okay. Just little things to start thinking about. I mean, anything that can prepare you for, a scary future needs to be done ASAP, prioritize it. Like, we're actually thinking about, this year at the farm, we're either going to get, because we have generators or battery banks, but we want to get one that's, I don't think it's the Tesla battery bank, but it's something that's, awesome that makes you completely self-sufficient with our solar system. So either that or a silo because we have chickens for the feed. We're thinking about getting it's not a full-size silo, but a mini chicken silo. So one of those two things we're going to do this year. Just, check off the list. Write a list of the things that you need to survive and just keep checking off the list.
Right. Right.
Because we know things are going to change. That's something that we can all agree on. We all feel it. Change is happening. It's going to happen. But how and what happens is up to us. So, I don't think that I can be accused. Everybody can do more, but I don't think that I can be accused of just letting anything happen. I feel very emboldened by the progress and planning and execution of things that are going to make my family safe. So, I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm optimistic.
Okay, I get you. I mean, yes, I am optimistic myself, but to a point, because I see the evil in them. Like I said, I'm a retired cop, so I see very little good in people, and I see the evil that people can do, and they will do it for their own selfish reasons. And that's the thing, like I said, neighbors will be a problem. They will be a problem.
Well,
100% they will be a problem.
And I'm actually it's actually been a pretty empowering thing. We just got our first gun not too long ago, and the whole family's going into safety training, and everybody's going to, you know, a gun is such a powerful tool. It's something to be respected. It's something to definitely be, like, know that, know it's dangerous.
Absolutely.
But know it's, you know,
my new job.
Power to protect.
Yeah. My new job, right? I just started trucking, right? And my company, you know, I brought it up, you know, about weapons, and we were told it's against company policy to have a gun on company property, and a truck is company property. I get it, but when I was out there, you know, when I was being trained, the person that was training me let it be known to me there is a gun in this truck. And he said to them, I was told, it might be against company policy to carry a gun, but it's not company policy for you to die.
Right. Is the company going to keep you safe in any other way? If no,
there is
then...
No, it can't. It cannot keep you safe.
Yes. So it's, and that's your job.
The company cannot keep you safe no more than the government can keep you safe. The only one who can keep you safe is you. And I try to explain that to people. But, you know, like yesterday, I was shopping in St. Allen. I had my gun on me, and I was wearing a vest. But unfortunately, the vest, you know, we get older, our clothes get shorter, and every once in a while, my gun would actually pop out. It would, you know, you could see my gun clearly. So one guy came up to me, goes, I guess that's a guy came up to me, and I didn't realize it. He goes, I guess that's a new way of concealing a gun. And I was like, oh, and I fixed it. And, you know, he and I started talking, and I said to him, I said, because he was asking me about the Supreme Court stuff, and I told him, I said, New York City made it so hard for you to get a gun, all right? And a friend of mine in Jersey applied for a handgun. And on the application, it said, reason why you need a gun for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to protect myself. You can't, and the answer to that is, you can't protect me. The Supreme Court ruled that you don't have to protect me. All right, in 2005. And when I say that to people, they look at me like I just walked off a spaceship. Like I came from another planet. What do you mean they don't protect us? I can look it up. Google it. Check it out. Search research.
Yeah, exactly.
The police do not have to protect you. If that was the case, there would be a cop on every street corner in this country, in the city.
Yep, exactly. We got our gun actually after the Supreme Court ruling, and when we filled out our application in California, equally as strict, they asked that same question. And the guy behind the counter was like beaming, like giddy. Nope, you just put N-A. It doesn't apply to you anymore. The Supreme Court ruled. You need to know. They don't need to know why you need a gun. So that's
And I explain it to people. There are laws in the books, murder, manslaughter. If you know what? If I defended myself in my home or on the street, then you know what? Let's go to trial. All right?
Exactly.
I'd rather be judged by 12. Let the 12 decide my fate. But I know I did what was right. And they will see it that way.
Right. Exactly. There was actually a previous Supreme Court case that made it to Supreme Court about this concealed carry. The person said that he feared for his life. It didn't make it to the Supreme Court because the dude was stopped and died. Right? So if that's not a clear reason why that should have been never an issue to begin with, he maybe would have still been alive, right? But he couldn't survive to his trial. Interesting times, for sure.
It's crazy times.
Yeah, so...
It will all play out eventually. Like I said, Danielle, you're doing what you have to do, and you're 100% right the way you're going about it. You know, and, you know, I'm doing what I can do. But in the end, I do believe that there's going to be a conflict.
Yeah, for sure. There will be. It'll be an engineered conflict, too. We already won. We just can't misstep at this point. We can't take the bait. They literally wrote the book on how to incite violence. You know what I mean? So we just can't take the bait, and we've won if we can do that, because there's more of us than there are of them.
That's correct. There are more of us than them, but the problem is them are the ones in control right now, and it's our fault that more of us didn't go out and vote to at least try to stop this insanity.
Yeah, well, I can't feel guilty about that because I did go and do what I was supposed to do. I saw it. I went out. I didn't just vote. I fucking ran for Congress. My name was on a ballot for U.S. Congress, you know? Nobody can excuse me of not trying to go the civic route to get this thing fixed. But I don't know how states in, like, California, I can't feel guilty about not voting harder because our system is rigged. And if our and like you said, the only way it's our fault because we didn't vote right. You know, the only way that works is if it's not rigged. And California is so rigged. If that is the reason that we have to just accept our fate because we didn't vote hard enough, that's not really an excuse. Or a reason, I'm sorry, for me to feel guilty, because I know it's rigged. They broke their contract. They rigged the election. That is the mechanism that makes us free, and it doesn't exist in California.
All right, so on that note, we have to leave it there because we have less than 30 seconds to get out of here. So,
okay. Yay, it was fun.
Everyone, thank you for calling in. Everyone else, I'll be
back.
Thanks, Bruce. God bless
America.
Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the negative shows, but also hold on to my hand.